I will be stealing that. Okay, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also, on the same topic of identity, but instead of being proud, do you think there's anything you struggled with? Or
yeah, definitely as well.
Yeah.
I think I'm getting a bit more neutral on my personality recently. Definitely not, like, super happy with it, but I'm pretty neutral. Like, I'm glad that I have the characteristics that I have. I'm not wishing for a lot of different things, but yeah, back to the shyness, I definitely struggle with that still. Just
right.
Having, maybe it's not shyness, but having the courage to talk to people that I want to talk to and just mm-hmm. get into a conversation. And I know once you're in the conversation, it's not that bad, but it's just taking that leap of faith, like the first moments before talking to somebody, is really scary to me for some reason.
Yeah, that initial rejection, because mm-hmm. maybe they don't want to talk, or
yeah, definitely. And even just things like talking in class, I have an opinion, but I don't want to say anything because I'm super intimidated. It's definitely an internal battle, because it doesn't feel true to me to bury that down and not say anything. But fear is just controls me, and I guess part of my personality is very anxious as well. So that is something that I definitely struggle with, is just this sense of fear, being scared of rejection or any of these possibilities that aren't really going to happen very often, but I'm still always thinking about them.
Yeah, it's like that in the class specifically, like the fight or flight. Mm-hmm. You just, I get my palms get sweaty.
I get nervous
racing.
When the class goes quiet and the TA's looking around. Get me out of there.
Scary.
How about you?
For me, I think mine is more shallow, that it's about mm-hmm. physical appearance.
I didn't know physical appearance yeah. was part of this.
I mean, it is technically part of identity, by caring about equalities, caring about appearance mm-hmm. and things like that. Yeah, I just wish I didn't emphasize on my appearance so much. And actually, I would say that I struggled with appearance and academic validation, which is kind of hurting me right now, because I just got a bad mark in my class.
A bad mark, though.
Bad mark. It is a bad mark. Okay. It is a bad mark.
Mm-hmm.
But those two specifically, and I talked about this last episode where we talked about gender socialization, and my grandma and my grandparents have a big influence on who I felt as an identity. Mm-hmm. And so definitely they praised a lot of academic and physical appearance specifically onto me. And that's not their fault entirely. It's just how I took it, is I wish that I don't struggle. I shouldn't be struggling with it as much as I should be, but
what happens when you're thinking about that and struggling with it? Is there any physical manifestation, or it's all mental?
I think it's all mental. With appearance, I don't know, both of these things also kind of stem into feeling inadequate, mm-hmm. which I've also talked about a lot, but I don't know why I have this overarching concept of feeling adequate, or as we might talk about a little later, being easily fungible, which mm-hmm. is being very replaceable in the human race as a whole. Like, couldn't I just be replaced by another person named mm-hmm. DJ Coco, who acted just like me?
Yeah, you're just another drop in the bucket of water.
Like, what impact do I have on our planet? Sorry,
can we get into the conversation now? Because I'm ready.
Yeah, we're ready. Yeah, we'll just move on to that. But yeah, we wanted to do a whole little kind of back and forth with being easily fungible.
Yeah, describe that for
The word fungible means to be replaceable by identical commodity. So this can be in terms of people. So like myself, if there was another identical DJ Coco who liked all the things that I did and was the same amount of intelligence and family wise and all the exact same qualities as me, is that, and there's probably someone out there just like me, is what I think. Mm-hmm. But
the thing is, if we're talking about cloning, yeah, there's not going to be any difference between you and the clone of you. But if we're talking about out there in the world comparing you to somebody who is similar to you in some ways, like, this sounds so cliche and so cheesy, but there is really nobody out there like you. And it might be easy to assume that, especially with certain people in our lives that we don't know that well or we don't have a deep relationship with, that they're kind of interchangeable with other people. But every single person in my life that I'm close to or know them pretty well, they are so unique, and there's not a single person that I've met that's even close to how they act or how they think for me.
Yeah, because for my perspective is that I've met friends who are very similar to each other.
Is that when they're together?
Not when they're together, because sometimes it's probably true because I only know the surface level of some of these people, or people who just look and act like people from high school and university that I think, wow, you're so alike. But I've only known the surface level of them. I wouldn't know what their values are, what they believe in, and what their family situation is like, and et cetera. But if everyone cannot be replaceable, then does it even matter? Because how is everyone, if everyone's unique, does that make no one unique?
No. I don't think so. If everyone's unique, that just means everyone's unique. It doesn't mean that, like, everyone has different... Okay, I haven't met every single person on Earth, so this is just talking from my personal experience, but...
We're doing a small population sample here.
Yeah, very small population sample. But it's very easy in my mind to create an out-group from myself that I can kind of just generically group a certain set of people together who have similar qualities. I'm like, oh, all these people are the same. Like, for example, maybe student athletes at SFU, I see them around with their red backpacks and leggings or sweatpants or something like that. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can already tell what these people are going to be like, but at the same time, I don't actually have, like, deep conversations. Like, I never get to that point with them.
Right.
So maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they're all the same, but I think it's incredibly unlikely. Because when you think about all the different people that they've been impacted in their lives by, they're never going to turn out to be the same.
True. That is true.
Because I was thinking even just recently, if I had a twin, there's no way that person could be exactly like me. You would need to have all the exact same experiences and not have any autonomy and not say anything yourself. You have to be a complete fused being, basically.
To be the same. That's interesting. Yeah, because everyone... there's some comments on this that I would not like to speak on air, but I think that would be...
I want to hear you talk about it on air.
I will not. This is something... There's something... I'll talk to the DJ Star about this after. Sorry, everyone.
I'll tell you guys later.
No, hey. But... That's interesting. That is a good perspective on identity because, yeah, personally, I just think that I've been so influenced by inadequacy that it kind of spirals me into thinking that, oh, aren't we all just easily replaceable and things like that?
Yeah.
But hearing a perspective that maybe we're all unique.
But the thing is, going to your side a little bit more, is that if you say, yeah, nobody's replaceable, like nobody can be replaced. But there are a lot of people out there that are average. And that's the thing that I had a realization about in high school. Like, oh my God, I'm average. I think most people have probably gone through that. Like, there's nothing special about me. There's nothing. I'm not super great at anything.
Yeah.
And that is a more difficult pill to swallow for sure. Because...
I think that's the pill more that... I'm trying to refer to maybe we are all unique, but aren't we all just, most of us have average skills. Like, we won't go to the Olympics or we won't become Elon Musk or lead a country here.
Yeah, there are certain, not all of us are going to become leaders for sure. And that is part of what makes somebody, or like has the foundational blocks to make somebody exceptional, is having a voice, voicing it, and then becoming a leader and kind of paving the way, or having some sort of exceptional talent, which a lot of people don't necessarily have exceptional talent. But the thing with average is that, how do you, in what way are we talking about? In like, we can't really say there's an average personality out there or an average identity. There's just kind of average in your skills.
Yeah, maybe we should. Yeah, maybe we should label it more as average skills. So having, I wouldn't know, because we can't really label the average intelligence in terms of college or university. But I'm guessing, I believe that business is the most common major. Maybe saying that you went to high school, you majored in business, you found a partner, and you go to your 9-to-5 for about 56 years, and then you retire and go off into the gravestone.
Yeah.
And so, could you be content? Are most people content with that, do you think?
I think there is a lot of narrative around that kind of lifestyle, because it is the most accessible lifestyle, I guess, in at least, or it's the most common lifestyle that we're pushed onto.
Right.
Is the 9-to-5 kind of office job. You don't need any talents for it. You don't really need anything other than just being kind of a body in the working cog system.
Yeah.
Like in the rat race. So I'm not sure if people do feel satisfied with that, but we were talking about this earlier beforehand a bit, and it's, yeah, you might not feel satisfied, but it is something you have to do. It is just a responsibility you need to undertake.
Yeah. Because even though it is a responsibility, I think it's the fact of feeling like I am so average in that, does it really matter if I do this job because my skills are so average and I can be replaced?
Yeah.
And that's back to the fungibility and being replaced by my average skills with more average skills.
But it is also placing so much value on being average in a certain way that can be capitalized on. Like, it's placing a lot of value on having a skill set that can make a lot of money, or, you know, so you can become a leader and influence a lot of people in the world. But I think there's other ways to not be average that are more important sometimes than just...
Like qualities or hop, so outside of skill wise, being maybe more caring person, or
Being caring, being thoughtful, being a good father, a good friend, a good grandparent, things like being funny. Like, that's being funny. Yeah, you could try to be a full-time comedian or whatever, but so many things that you, qualities that could be considered above average, you can't really utilize. And a lot of how do I put this?
Yeah, actually, I do. I have an example that I was actually thinking about specifically, is that sometimes I bartend or do event bartending for celebrations of life. I don't know if I might just out my workplace, but at my workplace. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I have these celebrations of life, and it's honestly so beautiful to see just a bunch of human and just a bunch of people who loved you and known you your whole life, and they celebrate you and your life and everything, and tell all the great stories of how you are such an amazing person, of not just like, oh, he worked so hard, or wow, he made so much money, but it was like, oh, he went and helped my laundry when my laundry machine broke down, or he is so great with my kids and he does things like, and it's just the little things about the personality. I think that was a big realization for me that day, is that wow, maybe life is more about just the people you meet and how you are, how you represent yourself as a person, instead of let's make more money.
Definitely, because I also had that big crashing realization of being so worried about being average, what am I going to do with my life? But then I also had this shift away from placing so much importance on a job or a career as being like my main tenet of happiness or representation of value in my life.
Right.
And obviously it's still great to have a job that you feel like you're special in and you're making a difference in, but I think that's really hard to find. And yeah.
Yeah, so maybe we should start drawing more attention to working on our personalities then, and not focus so much.
Oh, I remember. I want to say something, is that even if you do have certain skills or you're above average in some ways, that doesn't necessarily even lead to success. Like people who, like almost everyone in the working system feels pretty replaceable, even if you're top dog, CEO, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's any position.
Any position, as long as you devote your entire life to it and are very hardworking and committed, that's really essential. And then other things like experience and stuff like that, but you don't necessarily need talent unless you're more in the creative side of things.
Right.
And maybe I'm really off base here because I know you can be really talented in mathematics and computer science and things like that, but
there are other talented people.
There's other talented people, and it's definitely more of a learned thing as well. Like, you can learn it more than having natural creative talent,
right?
Maybe.
I think that's kind of the beauty of life, is that you can dedicate yourself to something that you really love and become great at it. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be born with pure talent. Mm-hmm. Even though it is still important. I don't think the majority of pure talent can solely go off of that.
You just need passion, I guess. And that is something that I have, like, since I used to be really searching for, like, what do I want to do with my life? But then I was, recently I've been more, like, past year or so searching, like, what do I really like doing? And it is a hard, like, that's where I kind of come into conflict with, oh, am I average because I'm not super interested in one thing or another?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's some people who seem like they know their passions, and they know that this is what I want to mm-hmm. do. Like, I want to become a piano grandmaster, mm-hmm. or I want to create electric cars like Elon Musk or whatever. They just know what they want to do.
They just really love plants or something. They could talk about plants for hours.
Yeah. It's just those special little niche hobbies, mm-hmm. I think, particularly, too. Like, kind of off base as well, but when people know a lot about a subject, I feel really jealous because then
me
I
too.
Think, hey, I don't know that much. I only know, like, a little about every
exactly.
subject.
That's what I think of mm-hmm. recently. Like, when I think about average, I'm like, oh God, I only know a bit about everything, and not even everything.
Yeah.
So
just some things,
and it is just a matter of educating yourself more. But it is also figuring out why you want to educate yourself more, and if you really want to know more about a certain subject.
Exactly. And not just feeling that you have to do it to impress mm-hmm. others. I mean, yeah, I wanted to start practicing piano again, but I think that was more not on the fact that, oh, I like playing piano, but it's something that I want to do to impress others and mm-hmm. Impress others as in also talking about it.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that's passion, but that's just more of a shallow reason to want mm-hmm. to practice piano again. But that was a specific example.
And it's hard because you want to feel it come from within, mm-hmm. but it's also really difficult for me with hobbies, and I think for you out there too, like, starting something new and being bad at it, you're not going to feel as passionate about it as opposed to if you're really good at something and you just want to do it all the time because
yeah.
you're really good at it and you just know that you're good.
Because what is that passion feeling of wanting mm-hmm. to always do it? I don't think I've felt that yet. Have you?
I think when I was younger, I really, really liked writing, just writing, like, fictional little stories. I went to book camp. I learned mm-hmm. how to write, always be on Aww. The computer. And I still have, it's definitely died off a lot, that side of myself. But I still really like writing those kinds of things. It sucks because when you get older, you have other things that take precedent over spending time doing things like writing stories or, you know, other little hobbies that just don't feel productive, I guess.
Exactly. The whole productivity mm-hmm. aspect of hobbies is something that is extremely annoying in our capitalistic society, but
yeah.
That's so cute though that you went to book writing clubs
book
though
camp at the BPL library.
Yeah, do you feel that a part of your identity is kind of not ripped but kind of separated from you from not writing, or is it just something from younger?
It's just something I feel a bit of a disconnect with because it was something as a child that I really, really liked to do, and then it faded away. definitely during high school more, and when I got a phone and things like that.
The phone.
The phone actually really messed up my writing. Like, that's pretty much, I can identify that as like the crossroads where I stopped writing for a while. Right. And it's definitely a side of myself that I've been trying to explore more, but it's really hard to think of an idea for writing a full story. So I have little things here and there, but it's hard when you're not as imaginative either as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know what I feel like, but I was going to ask more about your writing, though. Did you used to write little poetry or short stories?
I would write a lot of short stories because I was, I guess another passion, I guess it's not, I don't know. I was just obsessed with reading when I was younger, too.
Oh, yeah.
Reading and writing definitely went hand in hand. Like, I would be, like, walking to school and reading a book. And yeah. It's like, okay, yeah.
that nerd.
Yeah, I was such a nerd, but I would be doing those kinds of things, or like reading in class. I just always was reading. I couldn't get enough. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like I was reading super intricate, deep novels. But in elementary school, I'm reading like Percy Jackson or all these kind of different books. I'm just devouring them. And I still really like reading. It's just a very different transition to adult books than from children's or like
Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, it's hard to schedule in hobbies, too. Mm-hmm. And the fact of feeling of scheduling in things as well kind of sucks away the joy from the actual hobby itself. Yeah, I think we kind of strayed far from
identity.
A little bit about identity.
But hobbies are tied to identity as well.
This is our kind of profile, mm-hmm. I think. We've actually had pretty similar, very similar upbringings.
Yeah.
Especially with the reading and the shyness as well, but
those things are very interlinked.
Yeah, they're very entwined.
Bookworm
niche. Identity. But mm-hmm. I think even just a quick little last little note. There's also the thing about the multiple identities. And I just personally been feeling lately is that I put on different identities for different people. Like, I'm talking like I dress differently when I know that I'm seeing a friend, that I wear something that I feel like would appeal to them, mm-hmm. which is not good because I've been trying to more find out my own style, but that's something that's more physical that I can see in the way I act around other people. But
yeah.
Do you feel the same?
I think I do that. Yeah, I definitely do that. I'll try harder with some friends than others.
Yeah,
for sure, when I'm presenting myself. But it is really complex too, because these kinds of sides of your style that you're showing to other people, for me, I don't even know if my style was developed from myself. Like, I think it's just a conglomeration of things that I like, that I see in the media and I see in my friends, and certain styles that are current right now. So even the manipulation of my style, it's not even my style in the first place. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know where I'm going, if this, I'm going to make a point, but it's just
The outside influence.
Yeah, like I'm changing myself, but is that even necessarily myself in the first place?
Right. I feel pretty similar to that as well. I've had a lot of fashion transformations throughout the years, where I had really feminine style to really masculine style, back to kind of feminine. Now I'm kind of at crossroads here. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the influence of media is something that's really big. And yeah, definitely friends as well. But the second I deleted TikTok, I felt that my fashion sense completely changed, because I had nothing to be influenced by.
There is still definitely something to say about personal style, because no matter all of these influences that you're exposed to, you're still going to filter it through your own judgment and decide what feels best for you, what you like the best. So it's still, I'm not to say like my fashion or my style or my personality is nothing to do with me, because mm-hmm. there definitely still is that aspect of seeing a shirt and be like, oh my god, I love that shirt just because I love it. And there's instances where people I'm with, if I'm shopping, they'd hate it. I'm like, I don't care, like I'm gonna get it anyways because I really like it. So yeah, it is identity and self-expression is kind of a confusing topic sometimes.
Yeah, and also not just appearance as well as the identity. Mm-hmm. I feel like, personally, I've been kind of grappling with having identities as in, I like going to the gym, but I feel like having a gym identity kind of meshes with my radio identity versus being a good student identity versus being I'm a party girl identity. I don't want to say party girl. Not sure why I said that, but
developing identity.
Developing
right now.
And being a good granddaughter identity. And I feel like you kind of have to mesh them all together, and it's confusing because mm-hmm. what am I? We're all just a mesh of all these identities together, but it's weird not to have one label.
I saw this video the other day, actually. It was, do you know who Aurora is?
I've heard of the name.
Yeah, she's a singer, and she was just saying, she was in a podcast interview situation, and she's saying, it's not my concern who I am. Like, it doesn't matter to me
right.
who I am. It's other people can say whatever they want about me, but I'm just going to keep acting the way that I am, and I don't need to put any labels on it because they just box you in. So
true.
By not saying anything and just acting like who you are, yeah, you can leave it up to other people to decide, but they're not going to decide for you because you haven't even decided for yourself. You're just kind of existing and acting, you know.
Right. I feel like
there's no identity.
There's a safety in labels, though. Even mm-hmm. though they can be stigmatizing, it's kind of nice to have labels is my opinion.
It is comforting.
Yeah, it's comforting to know that you are something and you are part of a community of something, and that specifically that is you within that. But I still see that. Yeah, it's good to not also label, but also labeling could be good.
But also labeling is kind of exclusive too sometimes. Like, there's certain things that I'm interested in that I feel like I identify with, but that I don't have enough experience in, or things like that, where I'm like, I can't label myself as that, and that they're limiting in that way too.
Maybe like dabbling in writing or poetry.
Yeah, like, I can't say I'm a poet, I can't mm-hmm. say I'm a writer, things like that.
Or but where's the line?
I can't
say
I'm interested in philosophy because I just feel like I don't know enough
true.
About it.
Even but where's the line? Where's the line?
Yeah, when do you cross the line where you feel confident enough
in your abilities.
To declare an identity.
I think that's definitely also tied with self-esteem, too, is that we don't feel confident enough to label ourselves as this or this, etc.
Definitely.
Well, we got to reevaluate.
Yeah, it's hard out there. I think at this age, 20, I'm turning 21, and oh my god.
Soon.
Yeah, I'm turning 21 in like a month.
Whoa.
Which is crazy to me.
21.
Yeah, 21.
You'll be able to drink in the US.
I know. But yeah, just going through, just starting out life as an adult and really figuring out who you are, what you like. Those kind of simple things never really occurred to me before. Like, when I was a teenager, I was definitely introspective, but always incredibly negatively introspective on myself.
Right.
And now I'm kind of thinking about my self-image a bit more critically, and I like it. It's definitely a journey.
It is nice. I wish that people in general would talk more about the experience of growing up, especially in 20s.
I agree.
Because everyone goes through this. All of you listening there, too, you've definitely gone through the confusion of the 20s.
And maybe still. And like, still, when does it stop?
Still being confused. Up? And having midlife crises and not knowing what you're doing with your life. And that we're all just struggling here. We're all trying to stay afloat.
Yeah.
But it is crazy just kind of realizing what kind of world we've come into. Wow. Okay, well, we'd have a longer talking segment than we've...
Yeah, thank you guys for all listening to us.
Yeah, but thank you.
It's the end of our show now.
So we are going to say our goodbyes, actually. And thank you for being here. We'll be back for 6 to 7 next Tuesday. And just remind you, Revolution Rock is up next and Bitcoover at 8 p.m., but... Yeah, kind of a brief exit here.
Yeah,
but
sorry about that. But we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
See you guys next week. Tuesdays at 6 p.m.